Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Maria here, happy to be back, alive and kicking. I want to thank everybody for all the well wishes for my granddaughter's birthday. I can't believe I have a granddaughter who just turned 21. Welcome to Born in the 1940s, We Remember. And I can tell you, I remember a whole different Las Vegas, too, only from 15 years ago. I'm here with my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Maria. Fascinating. I can't believe your discoveries that Las Vegas is a shadow of its former self.
Las Vegas is like one big corporation from one end to the other. And I can tell you this, it was way better when it was run by the mob. But now it's corporate takeover. You know, one side of the strip is owned by Wynn Corporation. The other side is owned by Caesars Palace Corporation. They've squeezed stores in, shopping in, CVS, malls. There isn't a breathing space there. And you can see, and I'm not judging people, but what I could see by the very fact everybody was dressed like slobs, if you saw somebody dressed up, you assumed they were an entertainer. No one's gambling. I never saw tables, an entire room of poker tables with no one sitting at the table. And the croupiers are just standing around. I could see the pit bosses are, you know, reaming them out, but what are they supposed to do? I watched them take down one whole room of slot machines. They closed it off by the next day. All those machines were gone. So I saw a lot of low socioeconomic people by the millions just hanging around using the facilities, but nobody spending a dime. And children there, they make it like a playground. You have to show government ID to check in. You have to show government ID to buy tickets for a ride. I said, what happened to what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? And they got the same bullshit 9/11 answer. This is for your own safety and protection. And I said, yeah, I'll never be back to Vegas. What used to be, you know, a playground for adults is now worse than Disneyland on LSD.
That's terrible. I'm just distressed to hear that. Not that many years ago, we took the whole family out to Las Vegas, and we had actually a great time, but it was totally different, the atmosphere, than what you described.
Well, they're trying to make money every which way they can. You remember when you used to get comps, you know, buffets were like $6, $8. I'm talking about 15 years ago when I worked there. And now I went to buy an 8-ounce bottle of water, and it was $6, Jim.
Ridiculous.
$6. You go to Starbucks in Vegas because they don't have coffee anymore at the MGM Grand in your room. Oh, don't worry. We have three Starbucks. What you pay $1.19 for in a Starbucks for a cup of coffee was almost $6 in the casino. It was like every which way you could go, they were trying to collect money because no one's got money to gamble. That was obvious.
That's just unbelievable.
You know, back in the day,
we were there, all the tables, everything was just humming. I mean, there were people everywhere gambling. It was very exciting. Lots of events going on, lots of things that were exciting and fun, colorful. This sounds terrible. What a disaster.
I mean, it was like they're grabbing money from you every which way you can. You feel like you're trapped because there's nowhere to go. The traffic was ridiculous. Once you park your car, you never want to move it again. And, you know, knowing people there, you know, years ago, I had a business partner. We used to put on events for the high rollers. And, you know, no one would even think of wearing jeans in a casino. What I saw there was worse than a day at the beach in Atlantic City. And you couldn't tell the prostitutes from anybody else. I mean, it was insane. I was like, oh, my God, what happened to Vegas? Not that I was ever a gambler or a big fan. But I used to, you know, help put on big events and whatnot there. And it was shocking. That's all I can say. Shocking, super expensive. Nothing is, you know, a comp anymore. You're paying through the nose for everything. The amount of taxes that they continue to put on your bill every day was crazy. And then the last day we were leaving, and we stayed at the MGM Grand, which I did not know used to be the biggest hotel in the world. You need GPS to get through it. They were going to install, as of Monday, I left Sunday night, pay for parking in these hotels too. So it's not enough you're getting ripped off every day. They got another $33 surcharge for this, another $3 and this for that. You're getting absolute bare minimum now in what used to be, you know, the top resorts there.
Yeah, it used to be one of the most spectacular places to visit in the world for entertainment and fun. And it sounds like it just turned into a disaster, or, you know, where the corporate owners have become so greedy, it's no longer fun for anyone.
Exactly. And, you know, when they opened it up, you know, trying to make it a Disneyland, you know, first of all, everybody's drinking themselves to death. There isn't a counter you can pass where they don't have hangover remedies right on the counter for you. Why would anybody bring their children into an atmosphere of gambling and drinking and you know, carousing? I mean, I just don't get what happened to this country, okay? You talk about we remember, and we don't even need to have been born in the 1940s to see the change just in Vegas, which is very indicative of the economy. One of my friends who's an entertainer there, she said to me that they never recovered after 2008. They never recovered on the gambling.
After the bail out of the big banks that were too big to fail and the trashing of the resources of the American people, I mean, this is the insanity of the short-term profit maximization of these corporations, Maria. They're destroying their long-term prospects by just scamming the American people. It's part of the NAFTA and WTO move, too, that has gutted our manufacturing and industrial base. The middle class is virtually extinct now, doesn't have the discretionary income to buy high-quality automobiles, TVs, stereos, and all that. In fact, you're talking about the incapacity to even make a trip to Vegas any longer and spend some money on gambling just for the entertainment value. We don't have it any longer. The corporate greed is to blame.
Exactly. And, you know, even if you want to walk into a bar now there, most of the bars have cover charges before you walk through the door. I thought that was ridiculous. But then I went, there was an outside restaurant. I mean, there's malls now all weaved into Vegas. And I'm talking about off strip right there. And one of the restaurants, I went to look at their menu, and they had a cover charge of $30 a person just to enter the restaurant. That was without dinner.
That's ridiculous.
I was stunned. I have to tell you, Jim, I was blown away. I said to my family, I says, I am never coming back here.
Well, you make a convincing case. I mean, it sounds obscene.
I don't want to be one of those old people that says I'm never leaving my home. But you know what? After a trip to San Diego a couple of months ago and seeing the homeless in San Diego, I couldn't even enjoy my time in San Diego because I was so distressed by seeing how many homeless there were. I would say one out of every 10 people, maybe that's a low estimate. And then I go to Vegas, and man, what a shock. What a shock to the system. So I said, I'm so glad I live in this little town where I'm so insulated from the rest of the world.
Maria, I haven't heard about San Diego. I spent 2 years there in the Marine Corps when I was a serious commander and then moved up to regimental headquarters. That was in 64 to 66, and it was a paradise then. I mean, it not only has the best weather in the world, but it was just a beautiful, wonderful, relaxed atmosphere. You're telling me that's transformed 180 degrees.
Jim, it was like being in Harlem in 1967, okay? Yeah. I was blown away. I could not believe it, okay? I don't know the last time you were in San Diego, but there's no way you can't move either. There's nowhere to park. There's no way you can't get around. Even on a Thursday, in pretty much still the winter, You can't even access the beaches. I felt sorry for the people who live near the beach because they must go crazy just to get in and out of their own driveway. I said, what do these people do if they want to have a party? There's nowhere to park. I mean, nowhere. Like 10 blocks, there's nowhere to park. And like I said, the worst thing for me was the tremendous amount of homeless and how they blend with the super wealthy. I mean, I don't know. You'd have to be blind not to see the wealth inequality on any corner in San Diego. Tent cities on streets in San Diego. People living in tents, shopping carts, women, children. I never saw anything like it.
I'm just speechless.
And this is what's happening probably throughout our entire country. I have no doubt. This economic crash of 08 has killed this country. And there's no one else to blame but the Bush administration and the Clinton administration, which to me, they're both the same family.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and who's really talking about breaking up the big banks besides Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren? And we're going to do it again. You know, we're due. You know it's going to happen again because they haven't done anything to stop the next bubble.
Well, it's very scary. I'll tell you, though, I just watched Donald Trump give his foreign policy speech at the National Press Club, and it was completely brilliant. It was about 45 minutes long. He talked utterly coherently. He was using the teleprompter. It was a very well-crafted speech, very well delivered. Talked about all kinds of changes that are necessary to restore the place of America in the world, about putting American interests first, about getting NATO and other nations for which we provide defense to pay their fair share, rethinking the whole role of NATO, rethinking our relations with other world, getting a grip on the debt, which he, alone among the candidates, is in a position to understand and deal with. It was fantastic. I mean, I was blown away. And I'll tell you, if anyone has any doubt about his qualification to be president, they were decided by this speech. It was magnificent.
Well, who do you think wrote it for him? I doubt he wrote it himself.
Well, sure, but the point is it represents, you know, the policies to which he's committing himself. And Maria, they are sound policies. He did talk about, how we've turned the Middle East into chaos. Very appropriate. He should condemn it. How he was always opposed to the war in Iraq. He shares this view with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
He talked about NAFTA, gutting our manufacturing and industrial base, and how we have to avoid any commitments that take the control of America out of the hands of Americans. He and Bernie Sanders, again, are at one. And while it didn't come up, he and Bernie are again aligned on the supporting the Second Amendment, where Hillary has even been appealing to Sandy Hook, having events with Sandy Hook so-called survivors for an elaborate fraud, where she has to know that nobody died at Sandy Hook, that it was an Obama, Eric Holder contrived staged event, a FEMA drill, where we even have the two-day manual with a rehearsal on the 18th going live on the 13th, going live on the 14th, where some of the participants became confused and put up donation sites already the day before, and where even Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter's date of death was initially recorded as having occurred on the 13th, making his feet and shooting 20 children and 6 adults the following day, all the more remarkable. And it's Hillary just playing with these completely phony scripted events where nobody died. She also talked about San Bernardino, where we have the Craigslist ad, Maria, for extras at San Bernardino. Good pay, transportation, food, some speaking roles. Call day December 1st for the event going live on the 2nd. I was so appalled by this that I invited a paramedic, very highly qualified, to review both what happened at Sandy Hook on the 14th and in San Bernardino on the 2nd of December, and published on The Real Deal an episode entitled Staging Events from Sandy Hook to San Bernardino. And he just went through one after another violation of standard operating procedure, had it really been a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. As in Boston, there was no surge of EMTs into the building at Sandy Hook, no surge of EMTs in Boston, no surge of EMTs anywhere in relation to San Bernardino, no string of ambulances at Sandy Hook, no string of ambulances in Boston, and no string of ambulances in San Bernardino, no medevac helicopters. You know, in Boston, Maria, that the police, who appear to have been off duty on special assignment to provide a background for this staged event, they even prevented two priests who wanted to rush to the apparently injured civilians to administer last rites, and they wouldn't let them do it for the obvious reason that if they got there, they would have found they were simply actors acting with fake Hollywood blood. Nathan Fox, a Hollywood producer, director, had suggested to me they even use a smoke machine, Maria. Uh-huh. We discovered the smoke machine. I put a photograph on it on the back of the book, and nobody died in Boston either, which we've just released.
Right. Well, two things. Number one, quickly, can you tell people where they can see the real deal? Because some of my listeners seem to be having a problem finding it.
The Media Broadcasting Center, the real deal. Let me find, I can send you a link to the live view. And you can put it out, Maria. I'll do
right.
That
and don't
right
you
now.
Don't you also post those on YouTube? Because I've watched some of them there.
Yeah, they're all also individually on YouTube. And if you go and do a search on The Real Deal with the title of the show, for example, this one, Staging Attacks from Sandy Hook to San Bernardino, you'll be able to find it quite easily.
Right, just go to YouTube and put in James Fetzer. It'll all come up. I've got your channel saved as a favorite, so when I sit down and watch TV, I can watch it. The other thing, I don't know if you know or not, this morning, I believe, because I got the story this morning, the psychologist for the supposed Adam Lanza was arrested today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he got arrested. Right. He got arrested today supposedly for having a relationship, maybe a sexual one, with one of his clients between 2011, 2012. And interestingly enough, it also noted that he supposedly treated Adam Lanza when he was 15 and destroyed all the records of the sessions.
Yeah, that's very convenient. When there are no records, because we're dealing with a fictional character, what more convenient explanation than that you destroyed them? Do you know we even have experts from Yale that are involved in this hoax? I mean, it's astonishing. It's simply dumbfounding how many people they drew in to fabricate one lie to explain away another. I mean, it's as disgusting as it gets.
Exactly. But, you know, everybody's pretty much positing now, you know, what did this guy know that ended up, you know, he was targeted. I mean, why would they arrest him now for something that happened 4 years ago? But, you know, in America now, no good deed goes unpunished. Yeah, you and I, before the show, we were talking about, you know, back in the day, we used to be able to trust our government. Maybe we were stupidly trusting our government. But today, you look at, they say, the anger in the voters today is because they're sick of the system, they don't trust the government, and so many posts now, Jim, are saying, 2016, the year America realized that their elections are fraudulent.
Yes, 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 that a government has been lying to us about everything, that we don't really have a democracy, that it's rigged. And you know, the man responsible for exposing all this is Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, Bernie's doing a good job, too. We have so many investigations going on in so many states that Hillary supposedly won.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Bernie had one election stolen from him after another. It's completely shocking. Illinois, Missouri, a host of them. It's terrible how he has been maltreated. And it's because, the Democratic establishment is just as eager as the Republican to manage the outcome. They want to have someone with whom they feel safe. And it obviously wasn't Bernie.
Right.
But the great issue that's going to emerge here, I think, is where do Bernie's supporters go? I have told lots of people that the two candidates I like are Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. And they're both outsiders, and they both agree about opposing NAFTA and the TPP. They both agree about the mistake of the endless wars in the Middle East having gone off the rails over 9/11. They both agree about supporting the Second Amendment. So I think there's a very good chance that when the case is made during the campaign, that many of the Bernie Sanders supporters are going to find they're far more comfortable with Donald Trump than they are with Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know, there are many, many, many Facebook pages, websites, Bernie or bust, interviews with young people saying that it's not an automatic. If Bernie doesn't get it, they're not voting for Hillary. They don't want to go with the party. They don't even want to see Bernie as a member of the party. To them, it's a Bernieocracy. And myself personally, you know, to me, I certainly wouldn't vote for Hillary no matter what. Not that I'm any big fan of Trump, but I certainly wouldn't vote for Hillary. I'm still going to write in Bernie because I know my friggin' vote doesn't matter anyway. You know what
Hillary,
I mean?
Hillary is a complete disgrace. You know, she motivated the attack on Libya that destroyed a nearly idyllic society because Gaddafi, he was a dictator, yes, but benevolent. He was sharing the wealth of the nation with the Libyan people, national health care, national public education. He was giving newly married couples $45,000 gifts. If you had a medical problem, couldn't be solved in Libya, he'd fly you anywhere in the world with a friend or relative, all expense paid by the government, warehouses where anyone in need of food could go and get all the food they needed, compliments of the government. He was introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis. But he made the mistake of introducing the gold dinar, which would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa. And revelations coming out of Hillary's email and phone records while she was Secretary of State revealed the true motives. Worth that of Gaddafi was abusing the Libyan people, which she claimed at the time, but rather that the Western banking interests were afraid of the gold dinar and that France wanted to maintain its control over Africa. They feared Gaddafi's influence would spread. So they launched a vicious attack by NATO. They slaughtered the people. Would you believe the mercenaries they brought in, Maria, were being paid three different times for the same killing? First to kill them, then to chop them up, and then paid again to burn the bodies. Rape became the great instrument of warfare. It was happening all over the country. And now it's in chaos and a hotbed for jihad terrorists. It's just a disgrace. And Hillary knew better. She's lied about this. She actually cackled over the destruction of Libya and the death of Gaddafi. She paraphrased Julius Caesar from Shakespeare by saying, "We came, we saw, he died," and cackled over it. It's a disgrace.
Well, if you think about it, between, you know, that and, you know, taking out Hussein and all these other leaders of these countries we've invaded for no other reason except Bush wanted to get even. There was no ISIS. There was no terrorist. You know, in Afghanistan, they had the poppy crops, you know, eradicated. You know, they defeated the Taliban. So we would have been better off if we would have minded our own business and just left things in place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is all because of 9/11, which was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, most of whom had come from the Project for a New American Century and were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens in the Mossad. The objective was twofold. Number one, to transform American foreign policy from one in which we never attacked any nation that had not attacked us, at least officially, to one in which we became an aggressor nation, launching the program to destabilize, take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, which Wesley Clark confirmed during his speech at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. Good for the world that Vladimir Putin didn't let it happen. Russia intervened. But between February 1st and February 4th alone, the Russians launched 900 attacks on ISIS, Maria, Barack Obama is still hemming and hawing. In fact, we have all these drone pilots leaving the military because Obama won't allow them to attack ISIS. It's completely disgusting and a disgrace.
Well, and now you have the an appeals court that ruled that the CIA doesn't have to disclose how many people they kill with their drone strikes. So they have immunity and impunity, just like the police state. Right.
That is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the Supreme Court, Chelsea Clinton is now boasting that her mom's going to be able to pass gun control now that Justice Scalia is dead. Can you believe that, Maria?
I don't doubt anything. But, you know, Hillary's been, you know, she's been A-OK with a whole lot of approvals of sales of millions of guns in the country. So, you know, listen, no matter what.
She hasn't liked, and, you know, she said at Dartmouth to an audience assembled there that if she became president, she would bomb Iran into oblivion, a peace-loving country that hasn't attacked any other nation since 1775, Maria, and where our own intel agencies, all 16 in 2007, had reported that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons. Conclusion they reaffirmed in 2011, even the Mossad in 2012 concluded that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, which they reported to the Israeli government 3 weeks before Bibi Netanyahu went to the United Nations and asserted precisely the opposite. And believe it or not, those sanctions we imposed on Iran are violations of Article 33 of the Geneva Convention of 1949, which preclude punishing anyone for a crime they did not personally commit. Those are forms of collective punishment that constitute war crimes under the Geneva Conventions. And Maria, I wrote to 97 members of the United States Senate making these points, and I heard back from about this from not even one of them.
I'm not surprised at that, but what about Trump? Trump wants to destroy the pact that Obama's made with Iran.
I do think this is the most, the greatest weakness in his foreign policy presentation, because he seems not to have put two and together about Iran. But, you know, he was declaring Iran will not have nuclear weapons during his administration. And that's okay, because Iran wasn't pursuing nuclear weapons anyway. So that's an easy promise to keep, since Iran isn't pursuing nukes. Guarantee that you won't allow them to develop a weapon they aren't pursuing the development of anyway, and you're safe. And it reassures the American people who no longer trust Barack Obama. I mean, what he was saying about Obama was devastating. And if Hillary thinks that she can champion Obama's foreign policy into the general campaign, Trump is going to make mincemeat out of her.
Interesting days indeed. That's all I can say. Either one, to me, and I know you're kind of a Trump fan, when I watch both of them kiss the ass of Israel, I know he also said, you know, he's going to fix the relationships with Israel that Obama's destroyed, both of them kissing their asses at AIPAC.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, either one of those two get in. If there's a way to move out of the country, I would do it. If there was anywhere else to go, I would go.
That speech to AIPAC was absolutely the low point. I was disgusted by it. It was written by a son-in-law who I believe may even be a Mossad agent. It was a huge mistake. I don't believe you're going to see Trump reiterating the elements of that pact, although he was, of course, reaffirming Israel as our ally in the Middle East. And the only democracy, except it's an apartheid state. You know, the discrimination against the Palestinians is simply overwhelming. And it's, he's got to become more realistic about that, in my opinion. And I believe that he will. I also believe, Maria, by the way, that when he does a cost-benefit analysis about health care, he'll realize that Bernie is 100% right. And the right appropriate program is Medicare for all. We already have the bureaucracy in place. It was designed to be expanded to the whole population. His alternative of health care insurance plans for everyone is just too complicated. I believe you'll find him switching to Medicare for all. And because he and Bernie are so highly and tightly aligned on these other issues, I believe many former Bernie supporters are going to move to Trump.
or stay home, one of the two. You know, you're talking about Medicare, and I thought about Obamacare. I have the facts and figures for tomorrow's show. But Obamacare is going to be jacking up their premiums again because they say they're losing money. Okay, and you know, when Obamacare first came out, I knew it was a giveaway to the insurance companies. And the insurance companies now, of course, are saying that it's costing them money. It's not, they're not making any profit because they got, you know, all these people with pre-existing illnesses and expensive diseases. But they never address the actual problem of why does treatment cost so much in this country in the first place.
Yes. Well, United Health, which is the biggest insurer in the country, has pulled out of Obamacare in most regions in the country, which is a sure sign that it's collapsing. So that when Trump promises to replace Obamacare, he's on the right track. I simply think he needs Bernie's solution. Replace it with Medicare for all, single payer. That's what we should have had from the beginning. In fact, it was a sign that Obama wasn't the guy many Americans thought he was, that he didn't go that direction in the first place, but allowed insurance companies to write Obamacare. What a disgrace. That was a betrayal of the trust of the American people from scratch.
Oh, there's been plenty of betrayal. And, you know, I got an article, which is very interesting for my show tomorrow, that why is it that dental care is not covered even in Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare? Dental care is just as important a part of your overall health as anything else. So 70% of Americans have no, 70% of seniors have no dental coverage. And most Americans can't afford to go to the dentist. You know, if I need major work in my mouth, I'm driving to Mexico.
It's really amazing, isn't it, that we're driven to such desperate measures because our own country isn't looking after us, and that's what Trump was reaffirming. He's going to put Americans first, and his administration will be governed by what is in the best interest of the American people, and everything else is going to follow from that.
Well,
and I believe it, Maria. I think the man is the right guy for this time.
That's what he's right. That's what he says. But remember when Obama came in, and now Hillary's mimicking the same bullshit. He was going to close Gitmo in a week after he got inaugurated. Well, Gitmo's still open. Okay. So they can talk all they want, but they never seem to do. Okay. I don't remember a president who ever promised anything and actually did it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think this might be the first, Maria.
Well, I hope so, because you are so optimistic. Jim, God bless you. I love you. But I'm telling, everybody's asking me, my kids are in a panic. My granddaughter called the other night after listening to one of Trump's speeches at a rally. And she says, Grandma, this man is not talking about anything. He's telling stories. He doesn't talk about any foreign policy. What's going on?
And today he replied to that somewhat. Believe me, it was a brilliant speech. I was just stunned.
Right, but my daughter gets depressed, you know, with the elections last night, you know, Bernie this. And I said, you know, still don't seem to get it. I said, I don't know how much more I can say. Hillary is the chosen one. She's going to be president. My sense is they promised it to her when she ran against Obama. Give us 8 years so we can really destroy the rest of the country and get the hatred up. And the fact that what we want doesn't matter. The superdelegate issue is something Americans first woke up to this year. Anyway, Jim, let's go to a short break. I'll take a little break. Jim and I will be right back. Stay with us.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Born in the 1940s, We Remember. One thing I can tell you, Joe, everybody at my gym is, believe me, was born probably in the 1930s. And they're all looking forward to death. Okay, and they don't say that in a bad way. They just say, you know, what this country's become, the idiocy of this election, and I know they're all Republicans, we're glad we'll be dead soon. That's the general consensus of seniors that I talk to.
Maria, that's simply appalling. That is just appalling.
I know, but that's what they all say, and they always add that if they have kids or grandchildren. I feel sorry for my grandchildren, but I'm looking forward to leaving this planet.
This is all so shameful. For anyone who's still taken in by the Sandy Hook hoax, here's the easiest way to prove that it was indeed a fraud. Look at any photographs of the school from that day, and you'll see they do not have the familiar blue and white parking areas for the handicapped. They do not have the familiar blue and white signs that say handicapped parking permit required or visitors will be fined, which means that Sandy Hook Elementary School was not compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Either the Connecticut or the federal statutes that went into play were in 2007, 2008, they had to decide whether or not they were going to remodel the school to conform or abandon. It was already loaded with asbestos and biohazards, suffered hurricane damage. It was in terrible condition. And the fact of the matter is, look at any of those photographs and you'll see the sure sign the school wasn't even operating at the time. Further proof comes from photographs looking down where you can see the roof of the building. This was a 28-degree Fahrenheit ground temperature day, Maria, and there should have been heat or steam coming from the building, but the boilers had been decrepit and not in use since 2008. They couldn't even fire it up. It was a cold building, no heat, no steam coming from the building, not ADA compliant, obvious fraud, just a stage to serve as a background for a FEMA drill that was going to be presented as a live event to try to convince the American people to support gun control by contriving it in such a sinister way, claiming 20 children were killed to instill fear into the hearts of every parent across the country, of which there are quite a few. This was a diabolical scheme. And because the acts of terrorism are designed to instill fear into a population to make it more amenable to political manipulation, the Obama administration has been perpetrating acts of terrorism on the American people to make us more amenable to manipulation to promote their political agenda. And the same was true in Boston, San Bernardino, and elsewhere. It's unbelievable, disgraceful, and disgusting, Maria.
Well, Jim, you could say exactly the same things about 9/11. You know,
yes.
You look at the, well, you know, the Twin Towers. They were white elephants in New York. Yeah,
yes, you're absolutely right about that, except on that occasion, they actually did kill perhaps as many as 3,000 Americans. Mm-hmm. And the reason they've been staging these events using actors who are paid and so forth, or paid off, is because when you kill real people, you can have consequences that you don't want that are unintended, such as the four widows of 9/11 victims, known as the Jersey Girls, who were relentless in pursuing Bush and Cheney for not creating a 9/11 commission. For 441 days, they put it off until the Jersey Girls made it no longer politically palatable. And then when they organized, they put a guy under their thumb in control named Philip Zelikow, who had as his area of academic specialization before he entered the government, the creation and maintenance of public myths. Yes, M-Y-T-H-S was exactly what they gave us with an idol.
Uh-oh.
And Bush and Cheney only agreed to testify Maria, if it were not under oath, if they could testify together, if no transcript was done behind closed doors, you would have thought they were interviewing two mafia dogs, not the president and vice president of the United States.
I absolutely remember that, and they spent less money investigating 9/11 than investigating Bill Clinton's blowjob.
I know, it's ridiculous.
So,
and would you believe Hillary is still talking about gun violence in the United States, which has been dropping steadily for the last 20 years. This is another way in which Obama and Hillary are snookering the American people. I looked into it, and death by firearms, death from firearm per 100,000 people has declined steadily since 1990. In 1993, it was 7.0 per 100,000. By 2014, it had been more than cut in half to 3.4. And would you believe injuries from gun violence has dropped even more dramatically from 1993, when you had 725.3, to 2014, 174.8. I mean, it's simply absurd that Hillary is campaigning on increased gun violence when it's been dropping for the last 20 years.
Right.
And I have to laugh when Obama talks about gun violence in Chicago, because Chicago has perhaps the most stringent gun laws in the country. And yet gun violence is on the rise there for the obvious reason. When you take away guns from law-abiding people, it's the criminals who have them, and crime goes on the up. In fact, when I published Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, I included an appendix, Maria, that demonstrates that when guns are banned, crime goes up.
This is
one of the reasons why it had to be suppressed.
Exactly. Well, I also wanted to ask you, talking about the families of 9/11, the families of 9/11 right now are super pissed off at Obama kissing the ass of Saudi Arabia and not releasing those 28 pages.
Oh, this is a fascinating story, and it's going to go very far, because the 28 pages do show Saudi Arabia was funding some of the hijackers. Of the 19 alleged hijackers, 15 were from Saudi Arabia, none were from Iraq. And the fact is, it's a form of blackmail, and they are, the survivors' families are livid, because Obama has been siding with the Saudi Arabians and been lobbying to suppress this bill that would release this information to the American people. You want to talk about traitorous conduct? Barack Obama is a personification. This issue could not be more penetrating and revealing of his true allegiance and loyalty. Where I am fascinated that it may even lead to revelations about how it was done, because there are questions being raised now about why tritium was found at ground zero, which of course is a phrase that's used to identify the center of a nuclear event. In fact, the United States Geological Survey studied dust samples from 35 locations in New York, and they found a host of elements, barium, strontium, uranium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, that would only have been present had it been a nuclear event. And in addition, we have a host of very unusual forms of cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple myeloma, esophageal, pancreatic, brain, and other forms of cancer associated with exposure to ionizing radiation, where I would estimate probably around 2,000 first responders have died from these effects of working the site, where, believe it or not, Rudy Giuliani had 115 dump trucks lined up to remove the residue, the debris from the destruction, in spite of calls by authorities that it had to be examined to determine the actual cause.
Mm-hmm.
And these actual trucks were bringing in hundreds of tons of dirt. It turns out to be a special kind of resin that's a biological decontaminant, Maria. I initially thought it was ordinary dirt, because that's what the Soviets did at Chernobyl when they had their nuclear disaster. They dumped tons and tons of dirt on the site to absorb the contamination. Here they had a special kind of resin that's a military-grade radiological decontaminant in 115 dump trucks, compliment Rudy Giuliani, so that the debris pile for the first several days, because they were dumping all this special resin on ground zero, actually grew in the first several days.
Yep, and you know, this week was the 30th anniversary of Chernobyl. And, you know, in Japan, where they're going on their fifth anniversary of the still leaking Fukushima, the people there aren't even allowed to talk about it. The doctors can't discuss with the media what they're seeing. Now, I you know, their children now are being born multi-limbed in Japan, if they're being born alive at all. And I don't see any of the candidates talking about, hello, we're radiating the whole planet. What can we do to stop Fukushima? Hanford, which you know is the worst nuclear site dump in the United States, has been leaking. Nobody's talking about that. To me, that's a big issue. I want to hear, where are the candidates on Fukushima, Chernobyl, Hanford, all the other nuclear power plants that have been operating since the 70s when they only have a lifespan of 30 years?
Maria, those are great, great questions to direct to the candidates. And it looks increasingly that it's going to be Trump versus Hillary. And yet you got Ted Cruz in Indiana holding a special conference today where it appears he's going to announce that he's selecting his vice presidential running mate to be Carly Fiorina. I mean, this is such arrogance. This is such out of touch. If you define insanity as being out of touch with reality, Ted Cruz is a personification of insanity.
He might as well just shoot himself in the foot, because there's not a woman alive in this country, unless she's under the thumb of some patriarchal repressive religion, that would vote for that ugly bitch who is so against women's rights that I wouldn't be surprised if she's got a couple of penises hanging between her legs.
There's something very peculiar with this Ted Cruz guy.
Of course,
we had the report that came out from the National Enquirer, which on issues related to politicians has proven to be highly reliable in fact. It exposed, for example, Gary Hart having his dalliance with Donna Rice in front of a yacht called Monkey Business. That was a devastating revelation.
Right, John Edwards. They took out John Edwards, same magazine. They were right then, too.
Who had a whole separate family with a child while his wife Elizabeth was dying. I mean, that was a disgrace. And now they're revealing that Cruz has had at least five liaisons with a hooker, a teacher, and co-workers. There's lots of confirmation. It turns out that his Senate office was a subscriber to the Ashley Madison Adultery Dating Service magazine, if you can believe that. And now the D.C. Madam's attorney has sought permission to be relieved from the suppression order to reveal the contents of the D.C. Madam's black book, which, when I discussed this issue with Jeff Rentz, he said they already knew, and he sent me confirmation that it's Ted Cruz there. Plus, we know that a reporter for the Washington Times by the name of Drew Johnson was fired when he confirmed that at least two of the women named in the National Enquirer article were indeed the Cruz mistresses. How can evangelical Christians continue to support this guy when he's such a complete fraud and hypocrite, Maria? He's a disgrace. He holds himself out as a paragon of moral virtue.
But that's the thing.
He's a philanderer and adulterer. Plus, he has a wife who is a bigwig official with Goldman Sachs and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. That guy Cruz is an establishment inside candidate. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they don't fit very well.
Well, apologies to the lobo club people out there, the wolf people out there. Well, it looks like Bernie, it's starting to go around online that he's going to pick Elizabeth Warren. And if ever, to me, there was a perfect ticket, there it is. I know a lot of people have issues with her, but you know, I don't know how active you are on social media. But about 2 days ago, they said that Hillary's campaign spent $1 million to cyber attack Bernie's sites and Bernie's Facebook pages and replace it with porn. And, you know, I look at those stories sometimes and I say, yeah, well, is there really any proof? Well, the truth of the matter is, what I did notice was I was a member of about 20 pro-Bernie Facebook pages. None of them have had any post to speak of in the past 2 days. And a lot of those groups went from, you know, public groups to secret groups. So they're trying to protect themselves, I guess, from cyber attacks. What else could it be? Maybe that's true that Hillary did that.
I don't think there's any doubt that the federal agencies are being used to promote Hillary's campaign. It's completely disgusting. And, you know, the proof of fraud, I had a most interesting interview with Jim Condit Jr., who's running for the congressional district formerly held by John Bonner in Connecticut. And Condit, who is very much knowledgeable about what's going on, explained that Cruz didn't win Texas. Everyone in Texas was talking about Donald Trump. They simply used that it was his home state as a cover story to give him that state to slow down Trump. That the same thing was true in Ohio. People aren't that enthusiastic about John Kasich in Ohio. And again, it was gifted to him by the manipulation of voting machines. And of course, as I've reported endlessly here in Wisconsin, the same thing took place. I have excellent survey data, polls right before the election of all eight districts, showing that he was in massive leads in all eight districts, with over, you know, averaging 1,000 participants in the poll. He was leading by like 63-37 over Cruz in all eight of these districts. The worst was like 53-47, but he was in the lead in all eight districts. And yet we have this ridiculous poll coming from the Marquette School of Law claiming that he was behind Cruz by 10 points, which every poll before had him leading Cruz by 10 points. Wisconsin was stolen too, Maria. So the three bits of the road, Texas, Ohio, and Wisconsin, were all rigged using electronic voting machines. No one should have any doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. And the same thing, you know, listen, you and I both lived through the Bush stolen election of 2000, which I laugh when I think about that. I actually believed in those days, Jim, that stolen election of 2000 would be the biggest story I would ever be reporting on. Boy, was I wrong. Okay.
Isn't it appalling? Bob Petrakis and others have published on what happened in Ohio in 2004. Would you believe the raw data was being sent to a basement operation in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Karl Rove was massaging the numbers, which were then sent back to Ken Blackwell, Secretary of State, to release, where Blackwell was also the co-chair of the Bush-Cheney reelection campaign. Can you believe the conflict of interest?
Right, but you see, I got to tell you, I'm very happy to see Bob Fitrakis and Wasserman. They're still on it. They're tearing apart this election the same. You know,
these are good people.
Yeah,
good people. I
can tell you, man, you would think this kind of stuff would wear out our souls, but I guess we're all so passionate about what we do. I guess we're going to keep doing this till we all drop dead on top of our computers.
We still believe in our country, and we're going to fight for it, Maria.
Absolutely. If I didn't, there'd be no more Maria Heller Show. When I close the doors to this show, everybody can take it to the bank that it's all over but the shouting, as we used to say in New York. Jim, we've got the quickest hour on record done today. Thank you so much. And I guess we're going to have plenty from the clown circus to talk about when we're back on the show in a couple of weeks.
You got it, Maria. Thanks.
Thank you. Jim Fetzer, we get a little crazy, but there's a reason, okay? We've lived through a lot, but nothing like this last 20 years. Holy crap. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I'll be back tomorrow with news of Planet of the Apes, because that's what it is. We are trapped in somebody else's nightmare, and I'm going to figure out a way for us to get out of it. Thanks for supporting the show. If you're not a subscriber, you're listening on a different network, please donate some money to the show or subscribe. It's the only way I can keep the show going. There's no corporate being on the take here. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.